Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of Maymania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, episode number 281. On deck tonight, we appreciate all you folks tuning in to hang out with us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. Brian, hanging out with us as well, made it well ahead of time. Tonight wasn't nearly as close as it was last week.
No, we I was going to be even sooner, and I got talking to one of the assistant coaches or fellow coaches about our schedule and stuff like that, and went, oh, I got to get moving. So had to brave the the downtown traffic jam that is Seneca Falls at rush hour. Made it through that all right, and here I am.
Rush hour? Were you down through here during Canal Days?
No.
Or Independence Day weekend?
No.
It was even worse. It was rough.
Well, I haven't gone to that in years. I'm not a big fan of being out and about in Seneca County anymore. I just...
Why is that?
Well, with my job and all, I get to see enough of those people in at work. I don't want to see them, hanging out in public. So
well, I can understand. like going to like the fairs and carnivals and stuff like that, and being like, "Hey, am I still going to see you this weekend?"
So I just kind of hang out on my hill and have a bonfire every now and then. Keep to myself.
Busy show. Yates County Fair kicking off tonight. We saw a bunch of photos. Looked like
cool.
John Kleckner is on his way there. We know that the Sagers, they're going to be there. We had them in studio. James Brown, he's getting ready to go as well. So busy night over.
Tonight and Saturday both again or two
right.
nights?
Right, yeah, yeah. So that's one of the weird things about this is, we talk about two-day shows that are standalone and everybody's like all excited about it because the pressure's off. Then you look at county fair level two-day show and it's separated by the span of a week. And everybody's up in arms because there's no cars. It's such a weird, it's such a weird juxtaposition of the two things. They almost don't mesh. It doesn't make any sense that we would like one and not like the other. But you also look at the standalone shows. It's significantly different money and it's significantly different drama, different caliber of cars. But somehow some fairs are still surviving on it. Dunkirk still has two nights, as far as I know. Waterloo still has. Seneca County still has two nights. Mm-hmm. Yates County. Doing the same thing. So
Canandaigua does as well, or Ontario County does as well, right?
They are, I think they're back to two nights.
Last year was just Saturday night?
It was a couple years ago that I think they just had a Saturday program.
Yeah, that's, like I said, that's kind of how we, it's not how we grew up. When I was coming up through, Waterloo was the only one that had a Saturday that I ran. Waterloo was the only one that had a Saturday night show. Weed Sport, or Cuga County was...
Seneca County was the only one that had
both nights, like a Wednesday and a Saturday.
Yeah, because we'll going way back, and
it was
Ontario County was the same way too. After that, when they added a second night, were they always qualifying?
When I started derbying, Ontario County was a one night because they still raced on Saturday nights. They had
a fair championship race. That's right.
Yeah, they would have
the Skoll Super Dirt Series would come to town
somewhere in there. they would have the Derby, and then like Wednesday or Thursday, they started having a race like our Sportsman Standalone, Sportsman Street Stock, that sort of thing. Because I think we won it once or twice for the Sportsman, and then they also used to have Circle Track. Motorcycle dirt motorcycle racing,
the flat track.
Right? Yeah, flat track racing. Gary Plone would come and do the track on like Friday, and then Saturday for the fair championship. That was the best the track was all year. Smooth. it was awesome. Yeah. So, then years later they started having two nights a week, but Waterloo for the longest time was the only one that had both. But they started out when it started. It was complete show both nights, Keats, feature, everything. And there was a payout both nights. And then as car counts kind of started to dwindle, it went to just qualifying
night with the headline of the Junk Run, which, that works too. Yeah. Yates County used to have, that's when They had the Tuesday night was the more stock show, and then Saturday was the heavier built show with the theory that if something funky happened to your stock car, you could weld the thing up and bring it back Saturday.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're in the middle of homecoming month, as it were. We'll be talking a little bit about some of our local stuff. Wayne Van Lant is waiting on the phone. We'll be getting with him. He is from out in Washington. We're going to be talking with Danny Gill as well. Danny picked up a win at the Northeast Championship Show, $10,000, and one of the toughest derbies to qualify for. As we talk about fairs with multiple nights of derbies, the Northeast Championship eclipsing 5 or 6 days of qualifying before leading into that 30-car feature. Held out there at the Brockton Fair in Brockton, Massachusetts. Hitting the rewind button real quick to last week. We missed this, and I can't believe we did. Carson Dixon picked up a win. He traveled a little bit, and he got a win, and I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that, and I missed it last week. So apologies to him, recognizing Carson Dixon and picking up his win, and Dylan Rohrbach celebrating a birthday today. He took his Capital City Carnage car. Remember how nasty that was, and it dumped down? He took an excavator and put the whole back together. It folded over, and he bent the back end like you would. It was a sedan without a roof, mm-hmm. so to say, with a sedan. And it didn't work right. It didn't go the way that he wanted. They ended up cutting the entire back end off the car after the heat. And he made some hits in the feature. Didn't go quite how he wanted to, but he took the time to send some pictures, and I couldn't believe the masterpiece he turned the back end into from what it was. It was yeah. It was really cool. Unfortunately, he couldn't celebrate his birthday in Victory Lane, but he did was able to get the car back together and now we can take everything out of it because it's sufficiently junk. The front end bent yeah. all sorts of funky in front of the A-arms and stuff. So he's all done with that one.
This past weekend, I know it's it'll come as a shock, but Rob Hoyer picked up another win out west.
Oh, yeah?
That doesn't happen, you know, only 3-4 times a month.
Right.
I think Eddie Chick was sixth. Rob, I read some of Rob's comments online. He said it was a really tough derby. I don't think Trey ran. I think it was just Eddie and Rob made the toast. So another win for him. But yeah, we're getting into the busy season, man. There's stuff going on.
In the busy season. we've been in the midst of all that. John King had some results come in over the weekend. Nope. Lee Seeger and Marty are listening. They're going Saturday only. They're not running tonight.
Gotcha.
Over at the fair. So,
Yates County Fair.
The Yates County Fair, right. So I saw Todd Height over at Utica Rome Speedway. He came out to watch the racing. Yep.
How's he doing?
He's doing well. I was very excited he was able to drive there.
Good.
And this is the first time he's been able to drive a car in a long, long time after all the surgeries and stuff that he had.
Yeah, guy has suffered with that ankle.
The scar on his foot looks like a Nike swoosh.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it's insane. And then on top of that, they had to do a bunch of the surgeries over again because it was miserable. So the fact that he was walking without too much of a noticeable limp and was able to drive was impressive.
Good for him.
Winners from Norwich on the fourth big car. First place was a tie: Sam Riefenberg and Todd Ingram. Mad Dog Mike Ingram. All the Ingram showed up with Imperials. I'm sure that's a shock to everybody on the planet.
Yeah.
But those guys were laying it down. Made some pretty good impacts there. Small car: Tim Stilson. Winning there, Harold Humphrey, and Harold Humphrey also got the Mad Dog Award in the compact side of things. And Downsville is on Saturday at 1 o'clock. That's with John King's Smash'em, Crash'em, Demolition Derbies. So they're going to be busy. We got Wayne Van Lant hanging out with us on the phone. Wayne, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hanging in there.
We appreciate you coming on the show. And what time is it there at home?
Oh, a little after 3. Nice sunny day, a little humid. Not like you guys deal with, but a little bit humid for us, but not so bad.
A little humid, and you don't live close to Seattle where it's basically a rainforest, do you?
I'm about 2 hours north of Seattle, and I'm about 5 minutes from Canada, so I think right at the border, you know, it turns into frozen wasteland. It was all the time. It's horrible.
Well, Wayne had the chance to run his car one last time and able to keep a promise to a young boy, JT, who lived across the street, who was living with a neuroblastoma. I'm going to kind of turn the reins over to you on this one. It's a great story, the way that you made the promise you're going to run this thing one last time, but unfortunately, JT wasn't able to make it to that last run.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. Where to start is JT, 7-year-old kid, my son's best friend on the planet. moved in the street about 4 years ago, almost five years ago. My son and him are, their birthdays are 4 days apart, and they've shared birthdays for since they've lived next door. And 3 years ago now, he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, which is not curable. There's some treatment options, but not curable. And so we were going to May Mania that year and decided to change up our team name, change it to F Cancer. Mm-hmm. And that year, I think Chris was down there, and I put JT on my name sign instead of the number that I normally run. Mm-hmm. And went out and just had a blast. And kind of been running that mantra ever since of F Cancer. And went to May Mania this year. My teammate kind of totally screwed the pooch and didn't go. But you know what? You go, you can't be intimidated. You still run.
Right.
And so we ran, and, you know, it took a beating. But through the benefit of perspective that JT has showed me over the last several months, you know, you take it with a smile on your face and, you know, we're the lucky ones that get to do this. And got home from May Mania. We're kind of looking through the pictures with him on the couch, which, you know, is pretty important to him. And that's kind of when things were starting to take a turn. And, you know, I made a promise to him at that point when we're looking through pictures that I was going to run the car again. And I was going to run it on July 4th. And through that process of looking through the pictures, you know, I was like, hey, Rich, reached out to some guys to try to get some special things for JT to kind of let him be a kid and not kind of forget the fight for a little bit. And, you know, Josh helped me. Chris, I know you were involved at Brewster from JMW. Mm-hmm. RC Cars made a killer RC Derby car and sent it to him, which that kid was in heaven driving that thing. Also, Johnny Gulo at Stern Dirt reached out to them, and they cut out JT's own Mad Dog trophy. And when I presented that to him, when it came, you know, I was like, you know, this is almost more important than wins, because it's how hard you fight. And so at that point, JT's like, you know, you're ready to run your car again. He's like, you should go for Mad Dog every time out. and I was like, all right, well, I'm fixing to run a derby, so let's see what we can do. You know, he picks up the May Mania car, put some plates on it, and, you know, Jeremy Pratt, who you guys probably met at Blizzard Bash last year, was there, and we were talking and, you know, having a good time, and it was just a nice distraction from everything because the day before, JT lost his battle with cancer. And so my son and my wife and my two girls went to JT's house and spent the night with his parents, and I kind of skipped that to keep a promise to JT. And and I kind of didn't know which driver was going to show up, and it was a pavement track, which thankfully we have like five of them here in Washington. That are, if you haven't run pavement, it's a wild experience. And, you know, I said my normal prayer before I went out and looked over at the, you know, shotgun and said, you know, JT, we got this, let's go have some fun. And we just went out and let the motor sing and let the car do what it does and no holding back, and ended up getting a Mad Dog, which JT really would have wanted. So pretty special night, pretty hard, night. But man, I was able to get a ton of stuff out, and I'm thankful for that. So that's kind of how the night went down.
The car nosed up pretty high in the front. Were you concerned at all that you'd use the car up too early and you weren't going to be able to make it far enough in? Because I mean, we've seen a bunch of times where people punch themselves out too early and they get forgotten in terms of the Mad Dog voting.
Yeah, I didn't care. It was one of those things where it was just fixing the car. I just didn't have any expectations. I think the only thing I changed from May Meeting was I pulled the front corner out because Derek Shelley did a nice job of pushing it back for me in May. You know, I pulled the corner out. I put the plates on that I was allowed, and at that point, it didn't matter. It was getting so much, being able to go out there and just get so much out in one hit, five hits. You know, it didn't matter. It to me at that point, it was just like, hey, let's just go have fun, like Derby we used to be, and you know, it. Yeah, at that point, it was just, that's what it was about. And, you know, I was lucky enough to pull home a Mad Dog. And, you know, even though I did go out early, you know, nose the car up, you know, bumper as high as the roof. And, you know, it'd probably still be driving, but I've had problems with caps, distributor caps this year. So, but, yeah, it was one of those things that just didn't matter. It just didn't matter.
How's everybody at home at this point, given the way that the cards fell? You know, JT obviously not able to reap the benefits of his crew chiefing, telling you to go for the Mad Dog Award, and then you going out and getting it. How's your boy and the family? I mean, this is the therapeutic efforts of the Derby are one night. There's still life to come back to.
Yeah, my son. You know, I always have a thing when they're not able to go to a derby with me. I always call them right afterwards, and I was like, "Hey, you know, I know you're with the family." I'm like, "Just tell Austin I got my son. Just tell Austin I got the Mad Dog." And he was so excited. I could hear him screaming in the background, telling JT's mom and dad. And you know, came time to put the car in the driveway, and he's like, "Dad, I wish you could pull it down and run it again." I'm like, "Well, I think I could probably build a fresh car faster." but I think it's the journey, and I think that my son and my daughter and my wife and myself have been so involved in the journey that it's tough, but you realize, you know, at the end of the day, he was a 7-year-old boy that gave everything he had, and when he went out, his last thing in his mom's arms was he let out a smile before he passed, and that's the epitome of JT, of the toughness and the courage, and did it all with a smile on his face, never complained. And that is, like, so you can take away from that. My son understands, like, he went peacefully. My daughter understands that. And he's not in pain anymore. And that's the most important thing. And so I think that is a good thing. I think my son and my daughter are also pretty active, whether it be helping me on the cars or, you know, them playing sports. Like, they have a lot of distractions as well to kind of help them through the process as well. So,
sure.
So yeah, it's, you know, there's definitely going to be bumps in the road, but we're, you know, it's a day-by-day thing. I'm sure Friday at the funeral service will be a tough day, but you know, we'll make it through, and you know, I'm appreciative for my Derby family that, you know, if I need something, I can call and ask and just have people to talk to you and then understand. And, you know, I'm proud to run F Cancer on all my cars, and just the ability to how many people have started following JT's story since I've started doing this. You know, and through the process, you find out, like, just all these amazing places that need people's help, you know, donations. Like Ronald McDonald House is huge. Like, my neighbors spent almost 3 or 4 months in a Ronald McDonald House. That's pretty much all by donations. And pretty amazing groups like that out there to help these families out that are just dealing with tragedies. You know, so
I sat that on you while I was looking at picking through photos and stuff and never put it back. I mean, to give you a break, and then as soon as I click it, I'm just to talk.
You know, just listening. You know, I mean, it's so sad when an illness like this hits a young man or a young boy or, you know, a child. Just a child in general. But it also makes people realize what they have, how lucky they really are. Because, I mean, at some point or another, we've all felt sorry for ourselves. It's human nature.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, you know, when this is real life. I mean, this is heartbreaking, terrible. You know, it doesn't get any worse than, you know, a child not being able to live out a life. And, I mean, you know, you always try to learn from everything. And, I mean, I guess that's one thing where, you know, you got to learn how good we really have it. And things really can get worse. And, you know, you know, from the sounds of it, he fought and, you know, enjoyed stuff and you know, tried to be as normal as he could as a little kid. But, I mean, it's just heartbreaking.
And you got great advice.
Yeah.
Go for Mad Dog.
Yeah, go for Mad Dog. I mean, that's that's spectacular advice. You know, I mean, it's you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, I don't know what you believe, and I'm not asking, but I mean, you know, when you looked over in that passenger seat, I mean, you know, there's a good chance he was sitting there with you and went for a hell of a ride with you, in my humble opinion. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure he's going to be there with you guys. You know, and he's going to be in the shop, and he's going to be around. But
oh yeah,
it's just you know, there's nothing worse than, you know, than a sick child. I mean, it's, and then, you know, with your own children to have to explain, and you know, it's terrible.
Picture that I found on your page is with your boy in the pink shirt, and then with JT, right, in the Captain America shirt.
Yep. With you. Yep. That was let's see, that was right after May Mania, and we had done the pictures, or we've gone through pictures, and the funny thing is like, you know, you point out, like, because Paul Cox's wife Michelle took a bunch of pictures, just fantastic pictures at May Mania, and so we were looking through those, and I was like, yeah, and you know, Michelle's husband Paul runs a really killer truck. Yeah.
So yes,
started,
he does.
You know, started trolling Paul's Facebook page, and he's like, "Oh, I really love that page, or I really love that truck." And so, I mean, just the amount of great people is, I reached out to Paul and his wife, and they sent my son and JT shirts and hats, and Justin Broadhead, who does all my decals. And, you know, I messaged him. I'm like, dude, can you make me a sign that we can hang on his four-wheeler or his wall? And, I mean, within a day, I had it. And same thing with Johnny Gula at Stern and all the guys at Stern Dirt. You know, sent out a Mad Dog trophy. And, like, and it was the simple things for JT. It was, like, the beer koozie. Us adults, and but he had lost so much weight that his hands got cold when he would drink a pop, and so he utilized the beer koozies that just brought him so much joy. And then let alone the car, who you know, you can tell Decker and Chris and Ed that has been passed on to his little brother, who's 4 years old, and you know, his dad sent a video to me of his little brother getting to drive the car, his little RC Derby car, and it's just amazing to me. It's amazing, you know, how people, some that I've never met, some that I've very met briefly, have come to help just let JT be JT and be a kid and through this process and through this journey. So I think for me, those are like a lot of some of the best memories of JT was, you know, seeing the smile on his face when he got these things that to you or I probably wouldn't matter, but you know, a beer koozie would bring just this amazing smile to his face, and you know, stuff like that is just amazing. I'm gonna take those memories forever. So I'm thankful to all my Derby family out there that help with all those things, you know. And you know, Mad Dogs are, you know, I'm sure the next Derby will be different, and I'll, you know, try to drive smarter than what I did. But that's, at the end of the day, sometimes it just doesn't matter, and you just go out and have fun. And I think, you know, one of the ideas that me and a couple junior Sukit from here were kind of toying with is you know, car counts are low, and you guys face it too. And you know, fortunately for me, where I live, we still go through about 60 or 70 small cars, trucks, and big cars. But a lot of the trucks aren't, and they're hurting. And you know, they raise the payouts and to try to get cars, and it still doesn't happen. And so, how do you do it? And well, so one of the ideas we're toying with is to say, you know what? Let's get back to the show. And what if we paid each driver $1,000, just like if you paid a band to show up and play a concert? Let's pay each 25 cars. If you pay each driver $1,000, show up, and you're going to go for a trophy. Everybody gets paid the same, but you're going to go for a trophy.
That'd be interesting.
And it would be. And it's been toyed with.
And to see if that changes things.
If you I don't know. If you even did something as simple as everybody gets paid $1,000, and you put out there like a $500 bonus for the Mad Dog of the Night and a trophy for first place, it would be insanity.
Yeah, to just drive on the track and make a grand, or to win a grand, that would be impressive. I'd like that idea.
It's not the first time I've heard that idea, and I think with a little bit of working the logistics to make sure that it doesn't turn into a team derby, you know what I mean? 25 cars is going to be.
I mean, at the end of the day, what derby doesn't at some point?
I know. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, but anymore. It's. But I think we've. You know, you constantly are like, well, I want more. I want more. I'm not going to show up unless there's more. Or, you know what? Sometimes it's about perspective, and that there's fans in the seats, and how do you change that dynamic of that? And you know, yeah, you made five hits, but they were five killer hits,
right?
Or you know what? And I think it stops. I think, you know, sometimes it may stop a bunch of the stuff, and you know, just bring it back to the old days where there's not drama and the pissing contest of I've got this stuff, I've got this cool stuff, and you don't, so I'm going to win. And you know, just keep it simple, 80s cars and simple rules, and just go have fun.
I think that would be an awesome derby right here in New York.
I think it's possible anywhere. And in
New
York,
I'm being selfish.
In New York, I don't think you have to pay $1,000 either. You could probably pay everybody $500 or $750 and save some overhead. And I think people would still probably turn out.
And think about it. I mean, there's some pretty hard hitting drivers in New York
who are paying to come and don't win any money. Yeah. You know,
hey, so you're gonna give them same everywhere, right? I mean, right. We have that here too. I drove all the way to Utah 14 hours to take a beating and, you know, spend 5 minutes of fun, and so what? did it with a smile on my face.
That's awesome.
You know, but there's people that aren't that way or see, you know, some of the fancier stuff and do get scared away by it. Right. Well, or people drive smarter than other people, you know, whatever the thing is like, well, let's go grassroots. If somebody said, hey, let's go on a field with this car, you know, you can plate it up and let's go on a field, I would have gone in a field and done it for nothing.
Right.
Like, that's just me. I would have taken this car in a field with buddies.
We're up in Washington right now talking with Wayne Van Lant. Remember Stephen Blankenship?
Mm-hmm.
Rolled it over, kept going. He won his first super late model race this weekend.
Really?
Yep. Oh. His first one.
That's awesome.
And he's, I think he's pretty much done with derbies at this point. If you're talking
super. Dude, he used a lot of luck up that night we were in Utah, because when he rolled that car over, his head was outside of the cockpit, and he used a lot of luck up. I mean, he may want to give up the derby and stick with the circle track, because he used all his derby luck up that night. That was crazy.
Wayne mentioned Junior Sukut running up there. We've seen him a bunch of times out in Utah. A couple of drivers I've never got the chance to see run, but I'd like to. A kid that I got to know over time, Joey Roth. He's from up that way. Excuse me. I'm wrong. Let me make sure I got that. Yeah, it is Joey Roth. I know him by his handle on a bunch of the modeling websites. And Paul Twitt. Yep. Paul Twitt's up that way, too. I never got to see him drive either.
Yeah, and then, you know, I mean, we have some great drivers up here, and, you know, Randy McKelsey's like 15 minutes from my house, and Arthur Sukut's, you know, down south, and Joey Enzinger, and, I mean, there's some stuff happening. It's just sometimes logistics of going places doesn't always work out. But,
you're the opposite direction from us, but does that theory hold true out there? Is it more stock out on the coast, where you are out in Washington, versus what we see someplace like Utah or even more Central America, like what they have in Nebraska and Iowa?
I think it's different. Like, I think Utah, you know, your stock as far as like, you don't have the DP,
right?
But you get a tranny brace. At my local show, you can weld. It would be like a limited weld for you guys. We weld arms forward, and we get a DP, but we don't get tranny braces. But other than that, you can weld the door solid. You get your six spots in your hood, six spots in your trunk, and go. I mean, and we see like a lot of those shows in the Midwest. You see one or two types of cars. My hometown show here in August, which I'm one of the officials at, I'm going to see a killer 64 Merc, 57 Lincolns. I mean, stuff that you guys run in your relic class, but they're going to go full tilt with them, and you're going to see Chevy wagons. You're going to see Y-framers. You're going to see Fords. You're going to see new iron. It's just different. It's just different. I think Utah for me has been a challenge. I'm not used to running a tranny brace, so getting used to that versus my DP has really kind of changed what the cars do. And trying to get used to that has been difficult. I'd say it's more like you guys as limited weld. We're not really stock, but we're not crazy either. It's different. Like where you guys run, you know, 45-minute main event, it's 20-25 minutes here and shit, and it's junk. There's a lot of junk stuff.
No, let's back that up just one second. The 45-minute features don't happen in New York.
Yeah,
we don't drag them up quite that quick. It's all that the features get longer. They're close to the middle of America.
You get out to the coast of America in
both directions. It sounds
we tend to turn stuff up.
Where are you going to be running next?
What's that, Chris?
Where are you going to be running next?
You know what? I'm going to take the – I'm an official – I'm a tech inspector and official at my local show, which kills my son every year
right.
that I do it. So I'm taking a couple years off here. My next one probably won't be till next summer, and it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, what works if I go back to Maymania and find a teammate, how challenging that is. I don't know. We'll have to see. You know, I got plenty of cars. I think I've got 10 cars left, so it's just a matter of logistics of where and when and the family and dividing all that up. It's definitely changed for me. I used to run 9-10 a summer, and now it's, you know, one or two, and I'm happy. And to find that balance is important to it too. So
you mentioned the different kind of cars you'll be seeing at your hometown show here in a couple of weeks or August. Yep. So you said you have 10 cars left. What do you have in your stash?
Don't answer that.
What do I have in my stash? I have a very clean 68 Lincoln two-door. I pretty much stick to Fords. So I have about five old iron Fords, mid-70s. I have sprinkling in some new iron, some Crown Vicks here and there, trying to get ahead of the curve over here, but, you know, they present their own kind of challenges, so.
Yeah.
And then I've got a couple trucks that are fun.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends on what the family's got going on and timing and weather here. I build outside in the Northwest, so it can get a little crazy.
Yeah, but, I would say so.
Thankfully my neighbors are pretty cool. I live, you know, right in town in a small town and you know, in a cul-de-sac, and neighbors 10 feet away, and I build outside, so so
that's very cool.
It can be challenging, but it's allowed me to have, you know, the neighbors come over and hang out and watch and do their thing and come over and ask questions and take a look at the cars and stuff like that. So it's been pretty cool.
That's cool.
I remember, do you remember Demolition Derby League?
Yes.
The DDL?
Yes.
I worked Do you remember them?
A little bit, yep.
I worked as an online moderator for one of the live streams from one of the derbies in Washington, and it was one of the big it's one of the bigger promoters, the one that everybody watches for, and it is completely escaping me what the event was, but the mix of cars was weird. It was not your typical big show roster in terms of not the drivers, but just what
car-wise.
They chose. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really neat. And I was watching cars, it's like, I have no idea how this thing's gonna bend. I have no idea what I'm looking at, you know, how this is gonna go.
And that's
but it was cool.
Yeah.
That's what makes the Derby and fun, is when you see the non cookie cutter cars.
Is it Kitsap? Is Kitsap out there?
And you know, and that's my hometown show in a nutshell, is you're gonna see wild to mild to, you know, county fair show stuff, but you're going to see all different types and styles of cars, and small trucks and small cars and big trucks, and you know, it's a good time. And
are you going to see mid-60s Imperials, you know, on the track with Buick Skylarks? That happened once.
I think Imperials are the only cars that are kind of outlawed all pretty much in Washington. I think there's only one place that lets you race them. They don't even, which I guess kind of doesn't matter. There's not that many of them over here. So, but otherwise they pretty much let you play with whatever, and it's fun. And, you know, you can follow my Facebook page and I'll post the link. And, you know, I think one of our club president owns an equipment dealership, and they do a live feed, of the Derby from here. So, and it's a good time. It's, you know, it's not a two-day event, but it's kind of set up that way. We run our heats at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and fix for about 4 hours. And then at 7 o'clock at night, we run our consolations and our main event.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, back in the 2000s, I remember running down where I just ran, and Evergreen Speedway is just a phenomenal track. I remember running there first time was 75 cars, main event.
Oh.
Final Survivor style. It was like you basically, it's a circle. There's so many cars, you go on a circle track, it's madness. And when they get down to 10, they shut it down and put you in a pit derby. It was freaking the craziest awesome. Dang thing.
That's wild.
It's just too bad that stuff doesn't happen anymore. So
I think you're on something. I mean, it'd be outstanding if you get some traction with that idea and maybe bring it back, at least for the folks out there in your home state of Washington. Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of? I know we talk a lot about the neighbors and your family and the crew that you got out there. Is there anybody else you want to specifically make mention of?
Gosh, you know what? There's one guy that made May Mania possible this year. And you know what? I was, teammate or no teammate, I was, my truck broke down going down there.
Oof.
He doesn't have Facebook. So he was riding with me, and we hit the first pass out of Washington, and the truck went into limp mode and couldn't figure it out. And oh my gosh, we took a bunch of stuff apart. And he's like, you know what? My brother's coming behind us. And he's like, I'll just call him. He'll get my truck and we'll make it happen. So it was like 9 hours stuck on the pass in like 80 degree weather in May here. And truck showed up, and me and him drove all night. We switched every tank of gas, we'd switch drivers, and that's Ben Lagerwey, and I wouldn't have made it to May Mania without him. So it takes an army sometimes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
Absolutely.
Well, Wayne, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing some of your story, and it was great you were able to make good on the promise, run that car that final time for JT, and
yeah.
Obviously our thoughts are with you and your family and JT's family as well. It's going to be a tough week ahead, but man, it was awesome to see that you got the Mad Dog Award there.
Thank you guys. Anytime.
We appreciate you coming on the show for sure, and let us know how the summer goes when you get up to your show where you get to be an official. We'd like to hear a little bit more about what that was like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate
anytime,
it.
You guys.
For sure. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye now. Wayne Van Lant made the promise to keep, to run that car one more time to young JT, who unfortunately succumbed to a neuroblastoma cancer. Did not get to see him run, but his advice was to go out, get a Mad Dog Award, and Wayne did.
He wore that car out. He got his money's worth out of it.
Did you see it? And it was way up there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was able to share some pictures with everybody there just a moment ago. Blizzard Bash is coming up around the corner. I know it sounds funny to say it now, but just wait. Blizzard Bash.
It's going to be Wednesday night.
Blizzard Bash 2019, Kansas Expo Center, Topeka, Kansas, presented by Smash and Demolition Derby. It's November the 6th. It's going to be the heat draws at 7 o'clock. November the 7th is going to be national in the qualifying team opening rounds. November the 8th will be the second round of qualifying for both the national and the qualifying bracket teams. November the 9th, the compacts and limited weld team heats are on the schedule, plus all the Team B features, the trucks, and limited weld one and duns. And then Championship Sunday comes around for all of the Team A mains. Right now, Smash It Demolition Derby is gearing up for another busy, busy week of Demolition Derby action. July the 12th, they're going to be at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Dayton, Ohio, full-size street stocks on the card, along with the compacts, the power wheels, and the Smash It mowers. The next night, July the 13th, they're going to be at the Madison County Fairs in London, Ohio, 7 o'clock start there. 80s newer pro stock class, the compacts, the street stock compacts, separate class. All the street stocks, all the time, all of them that you can find. The ladies only and the power wheels are going to be a busy night at Madison County Fairgrounds. Autocross at the Fayette County Fairgrounds. It starts at 7 o'clock, July the 15th. Three divisions, cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans, and then the open class. So I trust that means people can show up with a super late model.
Open class, that's interesting.
It's going to be insane. Wouldn't it be great to show up there with like an RV?
Yeah.
Autocross the RV? That'd be neat.
That'd be cool.
July the 20th is the Franklin County Fair in Hilliard, Ohio, 7 o'clock start time. That is one of the split bills for Smash. They're also going to be in Washington Courthouse that night as well. At Franklin County Fair, the 80s wire class, mild weld, the compacts, the street stocks, the power wheels, and the Smash It mowers, the order of business there. So, yeah, they're going to be busy. So
yeah,
that's,
they probably only got like 30 shows left to do this.
Right. All right. So we're going to shift gears a little bit. Again, the action happening at the 8th County Fair here locally. They got another derby coming up Saturday, and then we're going to shift around to next week. Wednesday night will be the opening round of qualifying at the Seneca County Fairgrounds. Thursday night is the ever-epic RC Derby at the new location happening on the mulch surface at the 4-H Pavilion right next to the fair office. I don't think the fair office knows what they've signed up for, having the RC Derby, the noise and the screeching howl of them being outside the door of the fair office.
Is there people in there all the time?
Yeah, it's manned pretty much all the time. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on at the fair. You figure out, so they don't want to leave that office unattended.
How do you think it'll be on the mulch?
I think it's going to be rough on the mulch. Thankfully, Rich Fraley, one of the, I think he's the president now, he's got a piece of asphalt felt. I guess they put it down on the road when they're doing repairs to smooth out areas that are... It was made at the Seneca County Arby Depot, so it's good to stay local. Good fist bumps, Rich, for that. And it's like a 24 by 24 square, so we're going to put that down and then put the track on top of it, put the walls on top of it. The track is being picked up Friday by Zach Herman, and he's taking that down to Yates County for their RC Derby on Saturday that Stu Ovens is putting on, and then he's going to hang on to it, bring it back to the fairgrounds on Thursday. And he doesn't know he's going to bring it back from the fairgrounds to my parents' house Thursday after the Derby's over with yet. But we'll talk to
him.
You
haven't found
that out yet? No, we'll talk to him about that at the Derby.
That's cool. So... Is Zach preparing his battery of vehicles? He usually runs a lot.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of stuff. He's got a whole troop of people that run with him, too. The big thing this year is going to be the milk trucks, the UPS-style trucks. Those things get pretty crazy.
You know, what time is that?
Registration opens at 5 o'clock. The RC Derby is at 7 on Thursday, and then we'll come around for championship Saturday as well. So Saturday, I don't know if I'm going to be at Seneca County. Might not be at the fair. Because I've been asked to go produce the live stream at Oswego Speedway.
That's interesting.
I got to go to Oswego July 10th, August 3rd, and I have to go to Georgetown, Delaware with MAV TV again.
Whoa.
kind of cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
I haven't told my kids yet that we might not be going to. I might not be going to the fair with them.
Yeah, we got some family stuff going on that night, so we won't be there either. I'm sure it'll be interesting.
I hate to miss it. I genuinely do hate to miss it, but like
can't miss a business opportunity like that. Right. That's a nice resume builder.
Yeah, I was up there training. I got to run the replay machine. That's the most. I'm the most scared out of all of it. Was worrying about the replay machine. Danny Gill, how are you? We're doing all right. Danny Gill joining us on the phone as Brian gets his shameless plug in for McDonald's.
Had a cup sideways, couldn't tell.
You got to do better on your product placements.
Sorry.
Danny Gill is on the phone. Danny has been on a bit of a roll the last 2 years. Basically, in Al Crockett's words, he's been almost unstoppable. This year at the Northeast Championship, Danny won the team derby. Was the last car standing in that for his team, and then turned around and won the Northeast Championship main event. Again, all this week-long event at the Brockton Fair is hosted by Woodbugger Demolition Derby. So, Danny Gill, Al says you're on a roll, you're unstoppable. How's that sound to you?
I mean, it sounds pretty good to hear it from someone like Al, honestly. I'm kind of new around these veterans, to say, and I kind of watched him for a couple years and felt it out, and cool to be able to come and hang with him, even though I'm more of a stock type of guy.
Well, I mean, the stock type of guy fares well at the Northeast Championship. It's not an exotic build in any way, and once you've won it once, you're in the feature as long as you want to show up. So you're joining Chuck Bucknum, Chris Woodworth, some of the guys that have really been the gold standard out there at the Brockton Fair. Now your name is right there next to them, and you've got a chance to go into that feature from now until you decide to hang up the helmet.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, really. Those guys are, guys that I was sitting in the stands 6-7 years ago watching do this. So it's pretty unbelievable that happened. It hasn't even set in yet, honestly.
Did you cash the check yet?
Oh, of course. It's in the bank.
That'll help us set in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the account looks good.
That'll buy you an awful lot of luminos. What did you drive in the main event for the Northeast Championship?
So I'm a Camry guy, and that's right. I say I'm the stock guy, because I don't play with motors. I buy them running, driving as cheap as I can find them. I slap a bumper, tires, a simplified harness, and a tank in, and we go have fun. So
I just really like them because they just run forever, and they're good at snapping spindles on the fronts of the V8.
Yes, that's it's very true. It's very true. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the feature itself. How did that play out?
So actually, I popped the radiator cap off my car this morning, and I never even blew my radiator. But as we were going through there, we got down to about 10 cars, and my transmission started eating itself up, and we had some real good guys still looking real clean. You know, Crockett was one of them. We had Chris Woodworth, who's won it 3 times. His caddy was still ripping. And then we had Tom Woodbury in a W-body, and that thing was still looking straight as an arrow. So I pretty much... Yeah, I counted myself out at that point, but in the matter of a couple minutes, we got down to 4 all of a sudden.
Wow.
And Jake Norris had a Crown Vic, and I believe he pinched his throttle on the firewall. He said he didn't cut it just enough, I guess. And then Tom Woodbury and John Kelly actually got stuck together. Mm-hmm. So not the way I'd like to end a show, but for 10 grand, I kind of just tagged them each, and then I pulled about 30, 40 feet away and sat there knowing neither of them were going to reach me.
So he did a great job of recapping that for us. Just run down again the top four. So that was really well done, Danny. Second place was Tommy Woodbury. Tommy's still knocking on the door trying to get there. Third place, was John Kelly, who was another guy who was very much due.
And John Kelly's his past 3 years have been a first place and then 2 third place the past 2 years. So he's impressive out there with that run. And Tom Woodbury is always in the top. I mean, what a good guy and builder. You know, I'm amazed he hasn't won it yet, although I can say I'm happy he didn't win it this year.
Fourth place was Jake Norris. I mean, talk about a guy that is due for a win at that event. Tommy Woodbury is...
Oh, absolutely. Jake's always the first guy to help me start fixing my car after heats. Like, we went down Mini Meltdown in New York, and actually the car I won the team show with was supposed to be my Mini Meltdown ride, and I ended up taking a V6 that was built for a Stoney Roberts show down because I didn't have time to build one. So, he's out there in the middle of it, you know, in the heat out there, but before his derby, helping me put an inside tank in because I curled the back end up so much the tank was ripped open. So, I mean, he's a great guy. And honestly, if he didn't lose that throttle, I think he probably would have had me. My tranny was full of some nice metal flakes.
You know, that's the thing. We've talked to a lot of drivers, and it's just weird how sometimes it seems like, you know, the feature goes on forever, and then there's other times where all of a sudden it's, you know, you're down to the third and you're going, man, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's when you really start noticing the, man, my car's running different. Man, it's not shifting quite right. And, you know, you start absolutely getting nervous because, you know, you don't want something small to take you out. You want to be able to keep battling and be there at the end.
Of course. Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, we got down to the red flag there, and I'm smelling fuel, and I actually, my inside tank was in my team car. I never even put it in my feature car, and I'm sitting there just shitting myself going, is this me?
So, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that, I definitely hear you on that.
Would you agree, though, in the events where we see that snap of the finger die off, places like Brookfield Wheel Days, San Filippo, Seneca County, Ontario County, Dunkirk, these are all stocker shows.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not seeing nearly as much Northeast Championship. Yeah. Another good example, because that's been that way all the times I've been there. It's like, wow, there's still 15 cars left. And it's like, holy crap, there's only 3.
All these cars
are basically stock. They're all with the OEM running gear, and they've all been running through car accidents for the same amount of time. Does it not stand to reason that you're going to see a massive die-off all about the same time?
I mean, to a point, the Northeast Championship, they're known for stock. Other shows you mentioned, you can do a little more. But, yeah, it's the same idea. And yeah, I never thought of it, but that's kind of absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, generally without the all the protectors and the special, you know, cool kid parts.
Exactly.
The guys don't run the $10,000 or $15,000 motors. So, you know, you kind of have your best junkyard motor in it. And, you know, everybody's best junkyard motor kind of runs the same. And so, yeah, that's a very good point. I would agree.
All 360s from Walt Mitchell's yard.
Definitely a good way to look at that. See, and I guess I live in the perfect area for me because, I mean, I enjoy watching the big builds, but I do not have the time, money, or knowledge to do that. I just like driving the things, man. I've been wrecking cars since I was, like, 11 in my backyard, and that's what I'm about. And the building's great. I like the headers and stuff, but as far as – I don't even own a welder between me and you, honestly.
That's funny. I just bought my first MIG welder this year.
Oh, really?
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
I just went Bolton. Bolton. That's it.
I mean, I've borrowed them for years, but I just went out and said, you know what, I'm gonna buy a MIG, and had some stuff work out my way, so I ended up with a nice MIG. But and that,
Dan O'Connell just messaged me. He said maybe next time you buy make a big investment for Derby, it should be a trailer.
Who said that?
Dan O'Connell.
No, pickup truck. Three quarter ton. We were just talking about it the other day. But I mean, that's stuff like that. You know, it still makes Derby fun. I mean, like Dan said, you know, we've said it a million times. It's great to see those heavy builds, but it's a lot of work to do it. And sometimes it's just fun to watch the stocker cars go out. And you know, for the most part, it seems like the guys in the stocker cars run harder, which is strange.
Yeah. Yeah, they're less worried about breaking an expensive part, maybe, you know?
Yeah, except in Topeka. Topeka, Kansas is the derby every year that we go to, and there is the best of everything. Those guys don't really worry about breaking it.
For years.
They don't really worry about breaking stuff. They just go, and if it breaks, they go buy another one.
When stuff breaks, stuff breaks there, it's catastrophic. Like, you don't break an axle. You spit the whole center section of your end out.
Yeah.
Right, Bobby Brockway?
Yeah, Brockway did that one year, yep. Yeah, but it's,
I'm trying to get out to Topeka myself. That show is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the one place. I mean, we've, you know, people ask me, you know, where's the place I should go, and that's always right there at the top. Just because of the level of hitting. I mean, that's year in and year out. That's the hardest hitting show I go to.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody talks about Utah. Utah, you know, they hit pretty hard out there, but the builds are a little different. These cars are built tough, and these guys drive them. So, but I mean, you know, like you said, I like the stock stuff, and it's neat with the point that Chris came up how they kind of come apart. But
yeah, come apart similar. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's that 10,000. Did you get one of the big Happy Gilmore checks so you can put that on the wall of your shop?
I wish I did, man. That would have been cool. No, a little check in a big pocket of cash. I got out of Brockton as quick as I could.
There you go. That's awesome. Got the trophy sitting right in the middle of the living room so you can walk by and just smile at it every now and then.
Oh, yeah. I actually just brought it home with me tonight. I left it at my father's house for a couple of days. That's what makes him happy nowadays. So I'll let him have it for a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I used to do. I left some of my trophies at dad's, and he always got my hats and stuff like that when I won. So it's cool, though. I mean, so what are you looking at for the rest of your summer?
Oh, man, I got what have I done so far? I think I've done 6 shows so far, and I got probably another 20 on the list at least.
Wait a minute. Back up.
That's the reason I like the stock shows. I did 32 last year, and that's what I love doing is just going weekend after weekend, new tracks, new states. I haven't gone real far yet, you know, furthest New York, but we've done Connecticut, Vermont, Maine, Mass, you know, pretty much everywhere in my area. So next weekend we got Rochester Fairgrounds. Actually, we're doing a little car soccer and actually a big dirt road course enduro, which is going to be pretty cool. It's got like 13 turns in it, and then a big one and done 6 and 4 cylinder derby at the end.
That's cool.
So that'll be the next one.
Are you guys coming back to New York for San Filippo at the end of the year? Or?
Oh, absolutely, and I will have something much better built.
Yeah,
I used my nose this year. I came out trying to drive like we do around here with the back, and they bellied us out in the heat.
Yeah, they drive pretty hard down there. You got to make sure stuff's ready to go.
Oh yeah, no, I love it. It was I love the pace and the way the shows run. Everybody's super friendly, and definitely going to be back for more.
That's cool.
32. What do you think? You're Reg Bono or something?
Yeah, my girl doesn't love it, I can tell you that much. But I get to as many as I can a year. A couple of them are races, you know, like the Halloween Howler and stuff. I like some of those big crazy races still to get the adrenaline going.
She'd like it a lot more if you built her a car, I bet.
She ran in Vermont, and I lost the key to her car the day of the race, and I hot-wired it for her. And the starter had just a funny spot where if you turned it too far, it wouldn't start. She got down final 3. One of the girls had no steering. One of them was barely moving, and her car stalled, and she was overturning the starter, so she lost because of me.
Ouch.
So, I'd have to agree with that.
That is.
You know, actually, thinking back on it, you keep winning 10,000 to win derbies.
She'll be just fine with that. Yeah,
she'd be finding derbies for you to run.
Yeah. Exactly. We can fix the house with derby money. See,
there you go.
she's gonna be on Craigslist finding you more Avalons and Camrys.
Oh yeah, that's the dream right there.
Awesome. Very Danny, cool. Man, that was awesome. I got the news late. Al mentioned that you'd won that, and we tried to make sure that we got a hold of you. Congratulations on that. It was certainly well-deserved, and to come away with a win against that top five, you certainly accomplished something.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. Great to talk to you guys, and I look forward to seeing you in the future.
We'll see you somewhere, I'm sure.
Very cool.
Keep in touch as the summer goes with your 47 derbies.
Sure thing.
We'll see you later, Danny.
Bye.
Nice job.
That's crazy.
No.
You know, you know how many years it took me to run 32 derbies? Holy cow.
I bet you it took close to 20.
No.
I mean, the most you were doing was, what, 5 a year?
Yeah.
You weren't doing 7. You weren't doing 10. You're doing Brewerton, Utica, Rome, Canandaigua, Waterloo.
No.
Maybe Trumansburg.
No. It was... I'd have to sit down and try to figure it out, like, the most.
Well, we did this last week too. Yeah, we to figure did. It out.
I should probably really sit down and think about it. But that's awesome, man. These guys that can go out and build cars like that, and you know, I got a 16-year-old now, and he's.
I know you were in Brewerton in '99.
Yeah, I won that. That was the first one, and then I danced on the car that was still moving. Somewhere it's on video. I thought I shut it off, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. I got a 16-year-old now, and he's pushing to get over to Grandpa's and get working on cars. So I got screwed out of a day off last weekend. So this weekend I got 2 days, or Friday, Saturday off. So we got to get a car swat or get a car gutted out and start building the other one and go from there.
I made a post on Josh's page.
Yeah, I saw that.
Coils, right? Just see what wrote underneath it?
Duh.
Bone stock is in my future. No, I don't think it is.
Bone stock? That means there's no bars for
this car. This car's got to get through a couple years.
You know, you mentioned that. I won't say where it was or what it was, but I was talking with Jeremy Gulley, and he'd found a Cherry GM that he ended up buying, and it's going to be one of his new cruisers. And now that the boys are older, for the longest time, I couldn't buy a Derby cruiser because, you know, with car seats, and you couldn't put them right in a 70s sure. car.
Yeah.
Well, they're both out of those, obviously. So I was like, man, I'd like to have, but I didn't know what I wanted. And so Jeremy and I were talking back and forth, and he sends me a picture of this car.
79-300.
No, this is beautiful. Oh, man, I would love to have it. I'd like to have a nice Derby cruiser. Just go out and
cruise. Ride around. Hard to beat.
Yeah. You know, that's the best riding car I think I ever had was my 76 New Yorker.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be nice to have one to drive on the road for a while, but.
This Lincoln's a lot of fun to drive now that it runs better. It doesn't.
Will it smoke the tires?
I keep, if I turn the traction control off, the one wheel might.
If I drive that sucker, we're gonna see what she can do.
I keep waiting for it to start surging and chugging, and it's not. So hopefully the problems are behind us now on this one. You only got 76,000 miles.
You could have put the Newport on the road.
I know I do. I've got a number of people, some of them that have badges.
They want you to put the Newport on the road?
They want me to do something with it. Yeah, I really do. And I know I've said this 1,000 times. I feel like we're turning the corner on the finance where I can put a little bit of money into it and get it to a point where we can get the thing insured and all that other stuff.
And if not, I'll knock the windows out of it for you.
There is a line of people waiting for that. You're in it. You're towards the front.
Thanks.
Did I ever tell you the story about when I convinced Josh that it was stolen?
Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
That was fun. Poor Josh. He was freaking out.
Sure he was.
I even had my dad in on it.
Yeah. Well, your dad's cool like that.
Yep. All right. What do you think?
I think we're I think we're done.
Sounds good to me. Still good there. Yeah, so that's going to do it for us here at the North Park Building and Academy Square. Next week, we'll have a little bit deeper look into what's coming at the Yates County Fair. What happened at the Yates County Fair?
What's going on at Seneca?
What's happening at the Seneca County Fair? Maybe try and ring up Ian Doyle and see what he's doing, see if we can get him to come in since he's
defending
quickly
champ.
Tracking down his dad's win count. And there's a bunch of people knotted together with four, and depending on who you ask, they count it differently at five, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I'm pretty sure the all-time win list still resides in Chemung.
Yeah, it's double digits. But yeah. In the modern era, if you will.
Yeah.
Era of four. So we'll have to see what Ian can do. We'll maybe try and track him down and get him and talk a little bit about that and work at that stuff. But, again, awesome to have Wayne on. Wayne Van Lant talking a little bit about keeping that promise to young JT. That's going to do it for us here. And again, this episode in JT's memory, that's going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. We'll see you next time.
The Crash Course Live is...
There you go.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.